especially verse 78 that says, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. When you think of the word day spring, it reminds us of the word dawn, the dawning of a new day. Morning has come. Light comes in the morning, following a period of darkness. It was a very dark period of time in Israel and on the entire earth when our Savior was born. Dark spiritually, especially. And that light came into the world, the light of the world. And through the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have the light of life, which lights us eternally, spiritually, and for the glory of God. When pastors come to seasonal times of the year where we're looking for seasonal messages to preach, we comb a lot of resources for a seed thought, an outline, an illustration, whatever it might be that the Lord might use to speak to our hearts, to share with the congregation, the flock of God, that which we believe that God would have us to dwell upon and think about. I came across an outline that was used by a rather famous preacher, R.G. Lee. He pastored for 33 years. He's with the Lord now, but for 33 years he pastored Bellevue Baptist Church in Memphis, Tennessee. Had two senators in his congregation of over 23,000 people. And so he was quite well known worldwide. The message, the meaning of Christmas, he had 8 original points. I've boiled that down to 4 and wanted to share with you. I did a lot of changing and a lot of adding and deleting from the original message. But I trust that what the Lord has given me this morning will be a blessing to all of you. That our hearts would be turned toward the thought of, am I truly in an attitude of worship? Am I truly celebrating Christmas as I should? What is Christmas to me? Do I understand the meaning of Christmas? And more importantly, am I conveying that message of the true meaning of Christmas to those around me, especially to those who may not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, those who have never received the gift of eternal life through Christ. And so, as the Christian world takes this season to celebrate the birth of the child, the Son of God and Son of Man, may we truly celebrate joyfully, and may we truly celebrate publicly so that others might know the Christ whom we delight in. Father, we thank you for this time again, and I do ask for direction, guidance, that the Holy Spirit would speak through me, that you would help me to recall those things that you would have spoken and be able to communicate clearly the thoughts that would be appropriate for us here today. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I was listening to Chip Ingram on the radio this week, and he made this statement. He says, if you are so busy celebrating Christmas that you don't have time to celebrate the child of Christmas, it's time to examine your priorities. That's what it's all about, folks. It's all about Jesus. It's all about the Son of God, because God so loved the world, he was given to us to take our sin debt and bear that sin debt through the sacrificial offering of himself and his blood on the cross of Calvary. And so Christmas, we think of his coming into the world. Christmas is a holy season. It is a holy time because we commemorate the coming of God's Son into the world. the incarnation of God by way of a virgin birth. Incarnation, of course, meaning God became flesh and dwelt among us. And we can never sing with too much joy. I will be so glad if the day ever comes that we can stop wearing these masks, because the congregational singing is not what it used to be. And it saddens my heart. The Christmas carols, I love to hear them sung heartily and joyfully unto the Lord, but we certainly miss that. And I look forward to the time that we can sing with much joy and joyfully sing. We can never ring the bells too heartily. We can never over-exaggerate the Christmas benediction given to us in John 1:14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The birth of Jesus Christ is a miracle of heaven of the grandest magnitude. I can't overemphasize, I can't over-exaggerate how great a miracle it was that God would love us so much, that He would give His Son, His only begotten Son, knowing what His mission involved, knowing that it would end up at a cross on Calvary's hill. For sinners, undeserving sinners, filled with hatred against God, filled with bitterness, filled with all kinds of filth in our lives, the miracle of Christmas starts with the love of God. It's miraculous that God would love us that much. It's miraculous the way He sent His Son, born of a virgin, in humility. We're going to talk about the manger today. It's miraculous. It's a miracle of heaven of the grandest magnitude. And from Luke 1:78, as we read earlier, the day spring from on high hath visited us. Let's dwell on that thought today. The day spring has visited us. The light has come. Morning has come. When Jesus came into this world, the darkness of sin, the darkness of Satan, the darkness of death was turned to light. Light became available to extinguish that darkness, praise God. And so we celebrate Christmas as the day spring, the light that flooded the world's darkness. Isaiah the prophet announced the coming of that event 400 years earlier. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And we are familiar with every detail of the Christmas story. There's nothing new that I can share with you that I haven't shared before. We're familiar with the story of Herod of Judah, the last of Judah's kings. We're familiar with Israel breathing her hope into a long-promised Messiah who would come. The Advent took place. We're familiar with Bethlehem, very tiny little village, yet destined to capture the world's attention for all future centuries. Just on the news the other day, I heard of pilgrimages being made to Bethlehem right now as we speak. Tens of thousands of people making their way to Bethlehem to celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're familiar with the story of heaven's brightest star seen in faraway Persia by wise men of the East who were so accustomed to studying the heavens that they knew immediately this was His star. And so they mounted their camels and they traveled many months westward over the desert to Jerusalem. We're familiar with Cyrenius publishing the order of the emperor to go to your hometown and be registered, taking Joseph and Mary for such a timely event to Bethlehem. We're familiar with the angels declaring glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. We're familiar with the story of Luke chapter 2. We're familiar with the shepherds adoring the Christ child within hours of his birth. The babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. We're familiar with the gifts of the wise men, precious and costly, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, which sustained the family of the Christ child during those years in Egypt under protection of God. So what is the meaning, we ask? What is the meaning of Christmas? What is the meaning of Christmas to us as Christians, and we celebrate Christmas annually? What is the meaning to the world who may not understand at all why we have Christmas? And again, I boiled this down to four points that spoke specifically to me very clearly concerning the meaning of Christmas. And I see, first of all, and probably prominently, the most important point would be that Christmas is the manifestation of the Son of God. Christmas is Christ being a manifestation of God into the world. God became flesh. God came down and dwelt among us. God declared his glory in a dark world. God was the dayspring who visited us through the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. God demonstrated his love to the world by sending his only begotten. Christ is a manifestation. It is the advent. It is the coming of Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, into the world by human birth. And we need to understand that this Christ child was no ordinary babe. He was God in the flesh. The birth does not represent, and we need to understand this clearly, and I believe we as Christians do, but it's good to be reminded that, you know, when we think of the birth of a baby, it's the beginning of that child's life. It's the very beginning of a brand new life. It's the start of a lifetime of years spent here on this earth, and it's the existence, the whole known existence of that child. But when Jesus Christ came into the earth, into the world, when he came to the earth through the Virgin Mary, it was not his beginning. He had existed for eternity past before that, with his Father being glorified in the heavens. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, before the world was made, before the Virgin Mary held Jesus in her arms, before God sent forth his Son made of a woman, Galatians 4:4, Jesus shared the glory of God with God before the world was made, John chapter 17, verse 5. And God loved Jesus before the foundation of the world. Jesus himself said, again in John 17, verse 24, Father, speaking to his Father in heaven from earth, Jesus says, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, the glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. This was no ordinary babe. This was the Son of God who had existed for all of eternity past. He will exist for all of eternity future. He will be God. He will be the Messiah. He is. The incarnation of Christ is just that event in eternity, that event that where God became confined to time as we are, that event where a miracle of supernatural proportion took place and God himself assumed a living body. The child of Mary was of the Holy Ghost, as you know. As the Bible tells us, the power of the highest overshadowed her. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, that body was formed within her body, and a body that partook of sin, neither of man nor of woman. Sinless Son of God, sinless child, sinless Christ. And that body, that human body, was God. And the Bible tells us that without controversy, it's not argued. This point is not arguable. It's a fact. It's an established fact in the Word of God that great is the mystery of godliness, in that God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory again at His ascension back into heaven. 1 Timothy 3:16. That is an amazing Christmas story passage right there. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Romans 8:3. Again, understand what I'm saying. The manifestation of the Son of God is a Christmas miracle. It's what Christmas is all about. It is a miracle that God would so love a sinner such as I, that He would send His Son into this world. The everlasting, only begotten, sinless Son of God to die for sinners. The Apostle Peter speaks of Christ who hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. That's Jesus, Christ, the God-child, manifest in the flesh. To me, that's what Christmas means. Christmas also means a manger, and the manger has so many implications and so many messages for us as we celebrate Christmas. We know that the manger speaks of humble beginnings. The manger does not speak of the glory of heaven. It does not speak of the palace from which Jesus descended. It does not speak of the shining gold and the glitter and all of the things of heaven that we can only imagine how great and beautiful and marvelous they are. The manger speaks of something that is so beneath us as human beings. Who of us would think of taking our family to a stable for the birth of our firstborn child? And yet circumstantially God did that with His Son in order to show and demonstrate a point. That is humble of a beginning as that was, it was something God, again, was willing to do, because He wanted to show that the birth of Jesus Christ, and more specifically the death of His Son, Jesus Christ, was not just for the elite, not just for the wealthy, not just for the upper class. The birth of Jesus Christ, dear friend, was for all of us. All of us. So the manger, Christmas means a manger, and the manger means that Jesus Christ came as an unwelcomed guest from heaven. No room in the inn. Coldly and with cruel insensitivity, the same world which later nailed Jesus to an old rugged cross and thrust a spear through His side, received Jesus in a manger, probably just a hole carved out in the stone where they could put food for the animals, maybe a pile of straw or a pile of hay on which to lay the child. Messiah's birth chamber was a stable. It was not a palace. It wasn't even a place considered suitable for human habitation. What abasement, what humility. How wonderful for us that the Lord of glory was so humbled and abased for us. Think of Christ stripping Himself of His royal robes of heavenly grandeur, the robes of glory for you and I, the vile and sinful progeny of Adam's race. But yet, even in these humble surroundings, God did not fail to accompany the birth of His Son with a heavenly choir. Listen at the manger, you'll hear the voices of heaven singers. Look upon the manger, and you will see Christ who came down from the heights of glory to the depths of humanity. Down from heaven's honors to earth's humiliation. Down from heaven's coronations to earth's curses. Down from the glory place to the gory place. Down from heaven's riches to earth's poverty. And at the manger, we understand the apostles' words, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye, through his poverty, might be rich." 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. And we have just studied the book of Ephesians that also tell us similarly that we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Christmas means a manger, and that speaks of the Savior's humble birth. Christmas means music. As I said in the beginning of the message, the Christian world celebrates the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. And one of the things that we certainly enjoy during this Christmas season is the beautiful music that God has given to us. The carols that we sing, the familiar carols that we sing that herald the birth of His Son Jesus Christ and tell the whole story of His birth in all of its different aspects. And even though the world has adopted a lot of its own music and intertwined its own music with the Christian carols that we sing, we love to hear those carols, don't we? We look forward to those stories of Christ coming through the songs that we sing. And the shepherds returned, it says, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, and as it was told unto them. I think that there was a song in their heart. God had put a song in their heart as they went back to their sheep on the hills outside of Bethlehem. But we also know from the Christmas story, Luke chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, that the angels joined in heavenly chorus, holy chorus. And suddenly there was with the angel that actually came and announced the birth of the Christ child to the shepherds. There was with that angel a multitude. How many's in a multitude? I don't know. I can't tell you. But I don't think it was two or three. I don't think it was 20 or 30. I think the sky was filled from horizon to horizon with a multitude of heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Now you can believe what you want about whether this heavenly host praising God was in chorus or not, whether they were harmonizing or not, but I believe that they were celebrating the joy of heaven when they made this announcement. And I believe that that celebrating and that celebrating of joy was in the form of song. I really do. And I'm going to share with you two reasons why I believe that. First of all, when we look at the scene in Revelation chapter 5, we see the Lamb of God on His throne. Praise God. That means that He won the victory on Calvary's cross, and He's not still in the grave. He rose again and He lives forever. And He's on the throne, on His throne in heaven. And He's going to be there forever. And we see the four living beasts. And we see the 24 elders around that throne representing all the saints of God from the beginning of the earth until the end, until we're all in heaven. And it's interesting to me, don't miss this fact, that those 24 elders all have harps. So if you haven't learned to play a musical instrument yet, there's still a chance when you get to heaven. They have harps. Harps speak of music. David played, I believe, some form of a prehistoric harp. Revelation chapter 5, verse 11 says that there was a host of angels and saints numbering 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. How many zeros do you have to put behind a one for that? I don't know. Anybody knows what that number represents. There is a huge multitude of angels and saints in heaven. And Revelation 5, 4, and it says in Revelation 5, 9, and they sung a new song. In Revelation 5, 14, and it says this song and this worship goes on forever and ever. Forever and ever. Listen, here's my logic, folks. If the Son of God is so honored with worship in the form of song and music forever and ever in heaven, I think it would be logical to assume that in His incarnation, most likely the most significant event on earth since creation, it was also accompanied with the music and song of heavenly angels. Another reason I believe that the heavenly host was singing an anthem of praise was because God has given, since that event, since the first Christmas, God has given us so many gifted and talented, and I'm not going to use the word inspired because I reserve that for the Holy Scriptures, but I believe that God has given us men and women who are gifted and talented since the incarnation and have been given the guidance to write such beautiful worship carols and hymns praising the birth of our Savior, that music should be an important part of the celebration of Christmas. And the song goes on. Just like the gift, the song goes on. And there was music long ago when upon the midnight clear, that glorious song of old, so still at Christmas time there is music. Still through the cloven skies they come with peaceful wings unfurled, and still their heavenly music floats o'er all the weary world. Above its sad and lonely plains they bend on hovering wing, and ever over its babble sounds the blessed angels sing. So this Christmas, as always, let's listen. Let's listen to the Christmas music, vocal and instrumental. Let's remember that the Christian life is music in harmony with God's will. And let's include with all the Christmas celebrating a time of teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in our hearts to the Lord, as Paul exhorted us in Colossians 3:16, and as God created us with the ability to speak to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, so let us be singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord, as Paul exhorted in Ephesians 5:19. Christmas means music. Christmas means the manifestation of the Son of God. Christmas means the manger. And finally, Christmas means the Master has come. The Master of the universe. Jesus Christ is Lord of all. The Christ whom the disciples called Master is He who in eternity past rested on the bosom of the Father without a mother. And in time He rested on the bosom of a mother without a father. He was Son of Man and Son of God, just as old as His heavenly Father and ages older than His earthly mother. He who was in the manger later mastered disease into health, blindness into sight, deafness into hearing, lameness into leaping for joy, leprosy into cleanness, storms into calm, scarcity of bread into food aplenty, dumbness into speech, death into life, and grace into resurrection glory. The Master, He mastered sin, Satan, suffering, death, and the grave, and hell. And through Him we can be more than conquerors, mastering all the things that mar a proper observance of Christmas, mastering the mind so that it thinks the thoughts of God after Him, mastering Satan's resistance until he flees from us, mastering our bodies until we always are bearing about in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus and the life also of Jesus being made manifest in our body. 2 Corinthians 4:10, to the glory of Him who being in the form of God made of Himself no reputation and took upon Him the form of a servant and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Philippians 2:6 through 8. At this Christmas season, we Christians think of the meaning of Christmas. The meaning of Christmas is that God gave us a gift, the greatest gift of all, His Son, and through His Son, eternal life. Our celebration ought to include thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. And yet, you did not receive that gift by our own good works, or because we were wealthy, or because we were important people, but because we were lost sinners, much in need of God's mercy. And God, who is merciful, demonstrated His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It would be a tragic thing for our friends and neighbors and loved ones to receive the gifts that we give them this year with gratitude and at the same time refuse to receive the most important gift that's ever been offered. We need to pray that hearts would be opened, that hearts would respond to God's love, that they would say, yes, God, I will accept that gift. Because Christmas reminds us every single day of the year, God loved us so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Father in heaven, today, there are many, many people in this world who have never received that gift. Some because they simply do not understand. The day spring has visited us, but their hearts, their minds, and their ears all in darkness today, because the truth of the Word of God has not yet spoken to them. They have yet to hear. We know that hearing comes by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And we know, Father, that if we continue to tell the story, if we continue to celebrate Christmas and let it be known why, what the meaning of Christmas is to each of us, that one by one, our loved ones will hear. They will hear the message of Your Word. And by faith we believe that they will respond. And by faith we believe that they still can be saved, because it's not Your will that any should perish. We ask Your will to be done as people hear this message. We ask, Father, that we, with true gratitude, would celebrate with grateful hearts what You have given to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.